Welcome to the Intelligent Investing Podcast, where modern portfolio theory can suck it. A student of the school of Graham and Doddsville and a clergy member of the Church of Warren Buffett. Here's your host, Eric Schlein.
Hi, you are listening to the Intelligent Investing Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Schlein, and today we have on DTE JD 1997. Of course, that's not actually his real name, just a anonymous handle, but he likes to be private. And D, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm good today. How are you?
Pretty good. So I wanted to discuss a position that I know you own, Caledonia Mining, that one in Zimbabwe.
Yes, one of the safest environments that there is for investing.
Definitely a country that makes you think of intelligent investing, right?
Yes. Well, I will say this, that most of my investments are in the United States, of course, but I do occasionally buy investments, outside the U.S. And even though this is traded in the U.S., their primary asset is a gold mine in Zimbabwe, and that's that's pretty far out there, I think. And whatever happens with Caledonia Mining, it certainly, I think, is a very interesting story, and it goes to show that if you look around, you can invest pretty much anywhere in the world. Because I don't know of any place that's more frontier, except for maybe North Korea, which you may have legal troubles investing there. But, Zimbabwe is pretty far out there. But Caledonia Mining is certainly a very interesting company and a very interesting situation, I think. They are a gold miner, and, you really got to be careful with these mining companies. Because I'm going to guess 90% of them are just, or perhaps even more than 90%, are simply no good, and very speculative and, subject to pump and dump and, paid advertising and all that nonsense. But with that being said, people can certainly make good money in commodity industries, mining and such. I know that for a fact. My family has done very well in southern Peru copper over the years. And that has been at least a 50 bagger, possibly maybe 80 or 90 fold return over 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's, it can be done. But you really got to be careful. But I think Caledonia Mining is one of the very few companies that, A, is really being run kind of for the benefit of the shareholders. And as evidence of that, they've been paying a pretty healthy dividend for, I think it's four years going on five. And in fact, today, April 2nd, they just declared their next quarterly dividend of 6.875 cents a share. So the yield is in the high fours. It's just under 5%, I think. And when I initially, let me backtrack just a little bit and say that, I always kind of keep an eye on different mining companies, and I actually forget just exactly how I came across Caledonia. It was in a messaging board, and somebody said, hey, check this company out. They're trading for a single-digit PE. They have no debt. They're going to be paying a dividend, so on and so forth. And when I was told of it, I didn't know that it was in Zimbabwe. The person kind of said that last. So maybe if they'd said that first, I may have taken a pass on it. But
right.
Eric, when I initially heard of it, the financial metrics were just so crazily compelling that I had to take a look into it. And, you know, obviously there is quite a bit of risk with it, but, you know, over these past few years, I've done not as well as I would like, but, you know, I've done reasonably well, and I've collected the dividends, and, you know, I'm sitting on a nice little capital gain. And so they own what's called the blanket mine, or they have a very large share of it. The government owns a percentage, and then also some of the local communities also have a percentage interest in the mine, but Caledonia Mining has a controlling interest, you know, and they run the day-to-day operations of this gold mine. And one of the interesting things is that this mine has been in operation for just over 100 years now. And, you know, obviously at no point in their past did they say, oh, we have 100 years of reserve, you know, gold reserves left. You know, it's always usually been, say, you know, 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, you know, something like that. And as the mine gets larger and larger and larger, you know, and they keep mining out different veins of gold ore, they keep coming across more gold ore. And that's one of the, I think, very interesting and compelling aspects of Caledonia at this point in time.
How have they survived the past 100 years in Zimbabwe?
Well, for I hate to admit it, I'm not as up on my Zimbabwean history as I should be, but
you're not. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Zimbabwe has, believe it or not, they were actually, I think they used to be called one of the breadbaskets of Africa. And before Mugabe got in there, what was that, 1980 or 82? Or I forget, but Zimbabwe has just an incredible amount of mineral wealth.
It's just amazing to me, right, that the government never confiscated that.
Yeah. Well, it was a foolish move in hindsight, and I have heard from non-Caledonia mining-related sources, because I do know some safari operators and other businessmen in Africa, that Zimbabwe is indeed making is trying to make amends or trying to get back into, you know, the good graces of the international community in order to do, you know, more banking and more business with the rest of the world. And
hold on a second, though. I think that's fascinating, but how do you know safari operators in Africa?
Well, safari operators in America.
Oh, okay.
Safari over to Africa.
Gotcha.
I've talked with people that have been inside Zimbabwe.
You just seem to know some of the most interesting people. Sometimes you'll just say something. I'm like, what? What? How do you know? Okay.
It's just fate, I guess, or luck. But
yeah.
It is what it is. But they've told me that, yeah, Zimbabwe, you know, obviously they have incredible problems. You know, unemployment has gone from 90% down to 70%. So the country is moving generally in the right direction, although there has been a little bit of unrest around the elections. But, you know, Emerson Mnangagwa has taken over from Bob Mugabe, and he is much more pro-Western, and is actually trying to open up the country to foreign investment. And one of the things that they're doing is, you know, with the seizures of the white farms, I've heard rumors and stories that they are going to try and make some amount of restitution to, you know, the properties that were seized. It's not going to be full restitution, but it's going to be something, and obviously something is better than nothing. And once that is done, you know, then it'll continue to open up to more foreign investment. But the crew over at Caledonia Mining, they are British guys and South African guys. And, you know, obviously South Africa and Britain has got a very long history in Africa. Their families have been doing business in Africa for quite a long time. And so anyway, to make a very long story short, the Blanket Mine was a successful mine for a long period of time, say over 90 years. And eventually it got to the point where, you know, Mugabe ran the country so far into the ground that the mine was almost uneconomical. But the current management from Caledonia came in, purchased the mine, changed some of the operations, brought in new engineers, new processes, spent quite a bit of money on it. They got it at an incredibly silly low price. The mine has been operating profitably now for a number of years. I think at least 8, perhaps even more. And they have been paying a dividend for between 4 and 5 years. And, you know, Blanket Mine is it's not a tiny mine, but it's a small mine. So I guess this would be called a junior miner. And they have production. They just came out with their annual report. They had production of about 55,000 ounces for the year, which, of course, makes them a small mine, but not a tiny mine. But the other interesting thing is that they're earning. They have a very solid balance sheet, and they're earning just over $1 a share in earnings. So the current PE on the company is only a little over 5, between 5 and 6.
Why would you use PE for an industry that's so cyclical?
Well, you got to start somewhere, and I think that the PE, you know, you have a lot of mining companies that aren't making any money on an accounting basis,
right?
And or even on a cash flow basis, unfortunately. But Caledonia Mining is making money on an accounting basis, and they are making money, you know, on a cash flow basis, and they have plenty of free cash flow, which is kind of a good segue into the next point. They've been paying dividends now for 4 to 5 years. Now, the dividend payout is actually quite small in relation to their cash flow. The interesting thing that they have been doing is that, you know, in all the years that they've been running the mine, obviously they know it inside, outside, like the back of their hand. And as the mine has been operating for 100 years, they only have, and it's also an underground, what they call hard rock mine. So these miners are going in underground in tunnels, you know, and digging out the veins of gold, as compared to in North America, at least, a lot of the gold mines are what they call open pit, you know, where they have these giant shovels digging up the rock and ground and putting them, you know, in giant dump trucks that take it to the ore processing plant. But Blanket Mine is a hard rock mine, and it's underground. So in order to get the gold ore from within the earth, the miners have to ride down what's called a central shaft. And the central shaft now is it's close to a kilometer deep. So these poor miners, you know, I would not want to have their job, that's for sure. But they get in, you know, the elevator or the car, and it lowers them down into the earth, you know, 800 meters, 750 meters. And they have all these side tunnels. You know, there's a tunnel at 500 meters, 700 meters, 800 meters, and so on. And these little side tunnels go out, you know, hither and yon, and they've just got miles and miles and miles and miles of these tunnels, you know, throughout the years and decades and even century that they've been, you know, digging out the gold. So the interesting thing and the very compelling thing that makes this, I think, a very interesting stock is that for the past several years, they have been sinking a second central shaft. And it is now approximately a kilometer deep. And they are just about done going down in depth. And in fact, maybe they've already reached it, or they're getting very close. And once they have reached the full depth that they wish to go to, then they will start digging out all these side tunnels. And Caledonia Mining, excuse me, if you go on YouTube, believe it or not, they have many different informational videos, you know, how they process the gold, how they mine the gold, the history of the mine. And then they also typically, not always, but they will typically interview the CFO and the CEO after each quarterly earnings report and annual report. So, Eric, what they've been doing the past 3 or 4 years is they've been sinking a second shaft because they have a commuting problem with their miners, that to get to the new ore, sometimes it'll take them well over an hour commuting down the central shaft, then through all these side shafts. So if your miners are walking and riding, you know, an hour and a half to get to the new vein of ore, that's not very efficient. So they've spent quite a bit of money, pretty much most of their free cash flow, other than the dividend, of course, expanding the mine. And this has been going on for years, you know, sinking of this huge shaft that will enable them to pull up significantly more ore, because they can only bring, you know, if you only have one way up and down, and you have to, you know, obviously the miners have to come up, the miners have to go down, you know, you have to send equipment up, you have to send equipment down, and then you have to pull up the ore. So that one shaft is the bottleneck, and they're going to have a second shaft going here. They estimate that they will be done in about a year, maybe 5 to 6 quarters. And once that is done, they think that they will be able to mine out approximately 80,000 ounces of gold per year from the current 55,000 ounces. So it's going to be a tremendous increase in the number of ounces coming out, but, you know, a gold mine like this has got a lot of fixed costs. You know, obviously the miners and so on and so forth, but also their processing plant to handle the ore coming out. So for each additional ounce that they can mine after, say, you know, I don't know, 40,000 ounces or so, they're going to have quite a bit of profitability, because they're spreading their fixed costs amongst, you know, a higher number of ounces mined. And they've spent quite a bit of money over, you know, the last several years doing this, and it's not ready yet, but they're making progress, and it's been slower than what they initially expected, because of course they're operating in Zimbabwe. You know, and from time to time they'll have problems with the power supply, you know, and the electricity, and then, you know, a shipment from South Africa take a week longer to get there. You know, there's been lots of little bumps in the road, but they are making progress. And once that new shaft is fully operational, they could be earning, you know, double the money what they are now. So instead of earning a dollar and change, they could be earning $2 or more. And then also their free cash flow will go up quite a bit, because don't forget they've been spending pretty much all their free cash flow expanding and working on the mine.
When they're done with that, do you see? Have you thought about it like a normalized free cash flow for the company?
Well, it could be close to. Well, it's hard to project. You got to factor in the gold price and such, but based on today's gold price.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Based on today's gold price, because you can always hedge that out if you really wanted to.
Yeah, just which they do a little bit, but
I'm saying personally, you could personally hedge it out if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah, you absolutely could with GLD or with options or whatnot. But free cash flow per share. Could be $1.50, $1.75, something like that. And management has stated time and again, how important the dividend is. And since I've owned it, they actually have increased it one time. So on my first initial position, I'm making about a 10% yield. And I very strongly suspect that once the current expansion is done, that they're going to do two things. Number one, they're going to increase the dividends, and they're going to increase the dividends significantly. But perhaps even more importantly than that is they have been talking with President Mnangagwa about expanding into other mines that were have gone fallow, that have been shut down.
That's interesting to me.
Yes. Yes. And if you go on YouTube, type in Caledonia Mining, you'll see, 20, 30 videos. And management is very upfront about this. And they will, not at length, but they'll discuss, in the latest quarterly report that they've been, poking through different properties. They've inspected five or six, but, just nothing has really kind of clicked yet.
And you would imagine too that if they get any contracts from the Zimbabwean government to help revitalize some of these abandoned mines, you got to imagine they're going to get a pretty good yield on that mining activity, like really good yield.
Oh, absolutely, because Zimbabwe used to be the third largest gold producer in Africa.
Huh, I didn't know that. Who are the other two above them?
Number one is South Africa, of course.
They're known for that. Okay, yep.
Yeah, and then I think Guinea is number two.
Guinea, really?
Yeah.
I went to and thought about that. Okay.
Yeah, who number three is right now, I can't say, but in the 50s and 60s, Zimbabwe was number three, but they've got a lot of mines, and it's not just gold. They have platinum, they have copper, they have iron ore, so on and so forth, but Caledonia Management has been looking at other Zimbabwean properties that the government, really, really wants to get back online. Gold mining is incredibly important for the country because that's one of the few ways that they can get foreign American currency.
Okay, so question, would there be any other businesses in the running for those mining contracts? Or you think they would go to them?
Oh, other companies besides Caledonia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Sure, maybe you'll have to, for my mind, a sales bit, but maybe not the beers, but yes, there would be other competing companies for that, but Caledonia, number one, they're already in the country. Number two, they have the contacts. Number three, it's a difficult environment to operate in, and they already are doing it successfully.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so I think, obviously Caledonia does not have the resources of, say, Goldcorp or the large South African companies, but for these smaller mines, I think Caledonia would be a very, very good fit, and that they would have a very good chance of success.
And because they already have the track record and the connections, it's a high probability they would get those contracts. I was asking before, so what I wasn't asking about other just mining companies in general. I was asking if there's other Zimbabwe competition, or are they really yet?
Yes, there is, and I unfortunately I can't the names of
That's okay. I just wasn't sure if they were like a basically almost a monopoly in the mining industry out there. Okay.
No, they're not. There are a couple other international companies that are operating still in Zimbabwe.
Okay.
And then we have a lot of locally owned mines and companies that are doing it. But
so why would you be hopeful that Caledonia would get the contracts? And I know you said the connections and the experience, but wouldn't then those other companies also have connections and also have experience in Zimbabwe?
Oh, they do, absolutely, for sure. But you know, you have to have the engineering capability. You have to have capital. You know, because you don't just there's gold in the ground. you gotta map out where it is. You have to figure out how you're gonna mine it. You have to figure out how you're gonna refine it. So unless you're getting, you know, like back in placer deposits, I think is what they call it, when it's just up on the surface, you know, and you can see with your naked eye, oh, a little bit of gold on the ground, I'm going to pick it up. Most of these mines are underground, and you have to sink a shaft down in there, and you have to have engineers, and it's not just, I mean, it takes a couple years to get it up and going, but Caledonia has got the expertise.
Yeah.
And so, you know, are they going to get another mine? Not 100%, I don't think, but I think they have very good chances.
It's another catalyst, basically.
Right, right.
Potential catalyst.
The beautiful thing about Caledonia is you don't need another mine. You know, if, you know, the stock is trading for between $5 and $6 a share, and they're earning over a dollar a share, and they're paying out close to a 5% yield as we speak. In a year or so from now, when that second shaft is fully up and operational, they could be earning $2 a share. And they could be, you know, doubling the dividend and still have plenty of free cash flow left over to go in and bring another mine back online. And I think what they're doing, and I think this is very smart, is they are looking for mines that were previously producing but have been sitting fallow for 10, 15, 20 years. And yes, they do need a good slug of capital to be brought back to life, but it's not what they call, you know, a greenfield operation where everything has to be started from zero. So they already have some amount of infrastructure in place. And if they can do it, you know, I think shareholders will do incredibly well, and hopefully this can be like another, you know, Southern Peru Copper, and maybe 10 years from now, who knows, maybe it could be a 20 or 30 bagger. We'll see. But at the current valuation levels, I think it's pretty compelling. And the other thing that I'm starting to do is that, you know, no matter how compelling it is, obviously there's a good amount of risk. But the more research I do, there are other very small companies like Gran Colombia. And Colombia is another interesting gold mining company. And to be perfectly frank, I have not done all the research on it yet, but I think they're trading for a PE of about 4. Now, that company has a good slug of debt behind it, so it's not quite like Caledonia, but what I'm getting at here is that if you could find 5 or 8 or 12 of these different very small, interesting, mispriced mining companies in different jurisdictions, then you can mitigate a good amount of your risk. And then, like you said, if you're large enough, you can go in and you can hedge your, you can hedge the risk of the gold price. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, I think so, and I've got a good little slug of my capital tied up in it, and I've done reasonably okay over the past 4 to 5 years, and you know, not as well as I would like, but you know, it's off to a good start, and we'll see what happens here. Maybe this time next year, yeah, we'll have some more good news for you, but. Definitely an interesting situation, very speculative, but they're good operators, they're very experienced, they're very shareholder friendly. Insiders own a good chunk of the company, so their interests are aligned pretty good with the shareholders. You know, a lot of mining companies, the management, their interests are not quite aligned with the shareholders, you know, and they're constantly... If they're making money, if they have free cash flow, they're just spending the money willy-nilly, you know, expanding the mine, opening new mines, buying out competitors, and so on and so forth. So the capital discipline for a lot of mining companies is poor, very poor. But that is not the case with Caledonia. They've got a very good balance sheet. They've had a very good balance sheet. They pay out substantial dividends. They're committed to the dividends, and you know their interests are aligned with shareholders. So, you know, it's an interesting situation, and of course, you know, people need to do their own due diligence. But it's definitely worth taking a look at, I think.
Interesting. So, well, maybe we can touch base again in the first quarter of 2020 and do another episode on this company.
Okay. Sounds good.
Sounds good. All right. Well, you have a great rest of your night.
Okay. You too, Eric. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Intelligent Investing Podcast with Eric Schlein. If you'd like to connect with Eric for questions, comments, feedback, ideas, or to inquire about being on the show, please contact Eric at intelligentinvesting@gmail.com. So, in the words of Charlie Munger, I have nothing to add.